Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's show, the Yankees' Zips projections on Fangraphs are out. We'll look at them. Freddie Freeman is a name that keeps popping up when people write about the Yankees and what they might do once this pesky lockout is over, if it's ever over. And Yankees beat writer for NorthJersey.com, Pete Caldera, made 22 predictions about 2022. We'll go through some of them. They're funny predictions. They're not really serious. And more next on Locked On Yankees.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Wednesday, January 5th, and we are here and freezing. It's cold in New York now. It feels like winter is finally here. After 55 degrees on Sunday, we're, you know, and foggy, and there was no sun for days, and really there's no sun still. I feel like I haven't seen the sun in 2 weeks.
I was in California for a week and a half, and it was pouring rain the entire time. I haven't seen the sun in, and then I was in Minnesota. I haven't seen the sun in weeks.
Yeah.
Does it and exist it feels like, anymore?
Yeah, and it feels like it's like that too, because my mom said it about 2 days ago. She's like, have we seen the sun in the last week? And I thought about it and was like, I don't think so. I almost forget what it looks like to look outside and see something bright in the sky instead of just dreary and gray. But yeah, we're in the doldrums of winter and baseball isn't really helping. Before we get into everything, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. You can watch us on YouTube and subscribe. We're slowly inching towards 700 subscribers, so thank you for that. That's pretty cool. You can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees as well, and it does work. I've tried it. Fangraphs came out with, well, they do it every year. Dan Zimborski does his Zips projections. They originated at Baseball Think Factory. He's been doing it on Fangraphs for a decade now, and the Yankees predictions came out. And just a quick refresher here, in case people don't actually know how Zips works. It's, you know, it's like how Baseball Prospectus has Pecota and it's all the different stuff. I mean, I wish I was smart enough to come up with either a projection system or a stat. I did come up with a stat a few years ago that was kind of funny, and now I can't even remember the name, but Jay Jaffe actually liked it. And considering Jay Jaffe came up with Jaws for the Hall of Fame,
I was
pretty excited that he liked my, I have to look that up on Twitter.
Based on data modeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not do math well, so I defer to people who are smarter than me when it comes to data modeling. But data modeling and projections can be very useful in trying to sort of glean what a player is going to be like in the coming season or two.
Right.
Even beyond sometimes where their career trajectory in the short term, let's call it that.
Yeah, so Zips uses growth and decline curves based on player type to find trends. Then it factors those trends into the past performance of those players to come up with projections. It uses statistics from the previous 4 years for players from ages 24 to 38, and it weights more recent seasons heavier, which makes sense. For younger or older players, it uses weighted statistics from only the previous 3 seasons, and it factors velocities, injury data and play-by-play data into its equations. So yeah, my brain just exploded thinking about all that stuff that goes into this. So I'm going to open up the link on my phone because my computer is too far away from my face for me to read anything. And so I looked at these briefly, and there's a bit of an explanation for things. You know, obviously some guys aren't going to be, well, you know, we talk about DJ LeMahieu all the time. This Zips doesn't see him having an elite season.
Yeah, that's what stood out to me. And the other one that stood out to me was they said Giancarlo Stanton, instead of his season last year, instead of, what is it? I have notes right here. My desk is so small. My desk is very tiny. I have a small room, as you can see, there's a pitched roof and everything in here. I live in a converted attic.
Yeah. Well, at least you have a desk. I'm sitting at the edge of a bed, so.
My desk is so tiny. Giancarlo Stanton, look, we kind of knew he was less likely to have another 2017 season. Like, he's pretty far. That was 5 years ago. He's pretty far beyond that. But his Zips projections showed a narrowed range of outcomes instead of necessarily like a change in his career trajectory. So that kind of stood out to me. He stayed healthy last year, and there's always been a hope for sort of a return to that MVP caliber play. And it's just with between the injuries and the age, it's probably unrealistic to think that we're going to see another season like he had in 2017. And
that was a 50 home run season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just at where he is in his career. Yes. His range of outcomes is going to start narrowing a little bit. And I personally was not surprised by that. I did see on Twitter some people who were surprised by that and saying, wow, this is wrong. There's always people on Twitter saying, wow, this is wrong. So I just thought that was one of the things that stood out to me. And I thought, well, yeah, that's about where he's at in his career.
Right. I mean, I'll be happy with a 30 home run season from Giancarlo Stanton, as long as he, plays in a number of games. That I'd be perfectly fine with that at age 32. Let's see. They're predicting 466 at bats. I'd be happy with that too.
I feel like that makes sense. That's about what you should expect from him at this point. And if you get more, then that's a bonus.
And then you have, Zips goes through everything. So it goes through the batters, it goes through the pitchers, it gives you an idea of what to expect. I mean, it's not foolproof, and it's not, they're not definitely predicting, because the same thing happens with Pecota. I mean, Pecota had the Yankees doing really well. And not that they were terrible. They won 92 games. But, things happen. So I just always find this stuff fascinating, as I said.
Zips,
and as you said, with the data
the bullpen.
Stuff.
Yeah, Zips favored the bullpen. Highly favored the bullpen.
Yeah.
There were some things. I think it said Nestor Cortez is maybe not going to, have the same type of breakout year that he had this year. But otherwise, the bullpen, it says Zips thinks that Nestor Cortez will be adequate, but not at his 2021 breakout level, which,
I mean, no one expected that, especially that given how he's not overpowering. And actually, hold on. I saw a post on, what was it? It was on Instagram about Nestor Cortez and his pitches and where they ranked. Oh, the three best pitches on the Yankees according to run value. Gerrit Cole's fastball. Makes sense. Jonathan Loaisiga's sinker and Nestor Cortez's fastball. Now, the difference between Gerrit Cole's fastball and Nestor Cortez's fastball is like at least 7 miles an hour at some point.
Quite a few velos.
Yeah. It's interesting.
But the other one, between Joely Rodriguez, that's somebody that says the computer favors Jimmy Cordero. Zips thinks very highly of the bullpen. The rotation, maybe not quite as much.
Right.
I thought this was a funny line that Dan Zimborski had. He said, Jordan Montgomery is the best of the rest. He survived 2021. Survived 2020. Didn't we all survive 2021? I mean, did anybody really thrive in 2021? Certainly not the Yankees.
And, Jordan Montgomery, we talked about this. There was a month and a half there where the Yankees did not give him run support, and he lost a bunch of decisions or didn't get a bunch of decisions because of the offense screwing him, because he looked pretty good, considering it was his first full season coming back from Tommy John. And I feel like he can still get better. So I'm hoping that that's what happens for him in 2022. That would be nice. Jameson Taillon's coming back from the ankle surgery and the injury. That's questionable. Gerrit Cole, I'm not worried about Gerrit Cole. I'm worried about him staying healthy, but I'm worried about that with everyone. And, he's Gerrit Cole. I think he'll be fine. Will he be Gerrit Cole of three seasons ago? Maybe not, but I'm not really worried about him. But yeah, the rest of the pitching staff, the rest of the rotation that doesn't really exist yet, because there are a couple holes there. And, with Luis Severino coming back from injury. Yes, we saw him a couple times last at the end of last season, but he's always a big question mark. So
the rotation really is a big question mark. And the Yankees have quite a few on the field right now, but the rotation to me still stands out. And I've talked about it, you know, I've talked about it at length, but the defense is probably the biggest question mark. And then behind the defense, it's got to be like 1A and 1B are the two biggest concerns. 1A is the defense, especially the infield. Well, I guess the defense all over because center field's a big problem. You don't know if Aaron Hicks is reliable. And then the rotation, it's just there's some drop-off after Gerrit Cole. And there's some guys that gave some really gutsy, good performances last year. But can you really rely on Jameson Taillon for an entire season, like with all the injuries he's had, and Jordan Montgomery and Luis Severino, both they're not elite like Cole. And this is the Yankees. This is a team that is known to have, you know, stack elite starters on top of one another, and that's not happening right now. And I don't know that I worry about Gerrit Cole in the same reason you're saying that you worry about, like, he's an elite pitcher. He's going to figure it out without the sticky stuff.
Right.
Every good pitcher will figure it out without the sticky stuff. What we're going to see is some of the guys who we thought maybe were elite are not, because they cannot figure it out without some sort of substance. That was what was giving them their spin. That was their out pitch. Gerrit Cole is an elite pitcher. He's going to figure it out. And he started to at the end of last season, but then he had the injuries. Injury concerns, I guess, you know, this is the modern day Yankees. I guess the injury concerns that's probably been the biggest reason, like the thing that's hamstrung them the last few years. Sure, you can talk about the defense and the pitching, but the injuries have really hurt them more than anything the last few years. And I know that they've tried to address that. They've, you know, made some changes at the top levels, at the organizational levels. I think maybe the Zips projections, I think, do take into account for some injuries, but I changed my mind. The biggest question mark with the Yankees is injuries. Can they stay healthy? And then and then 2A and 2B is the defense and the
pitching and defense. Yeah. So we're into 2022. It's a new year, and that means resolutions. And if yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, actually maybe even better than a candy bar. It makes it easy for you to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good and you'll want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky, waxy, taste like a chemical spill, you'll want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring because by week 3 into the new year, you might be thinking, this is just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? Built Bar is covered in 100% chocolate. Most of them contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to an actual candy bar, which is usually around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So if you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. That way, when you enjoy a delicious Built Bar, you can almost count it as a workout. And there's so many flavors to choose from. I say it all the time. Mint brownie. Get mint brownie. It's really, really good. And there's so many other flavors, limited flavors, new flavors. So go to built.com and see what's new. Our offer is go to built.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code is LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com. Thanks again for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Freddie Freeman's name has been thrown around a lot when it comes to the Yankees and their first base, because it's not just shortstop that the Yankees probably need to address in the infield. It's also first base.
They need a left-handed hitting first baseman. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Freddie Freeman's a name that has been thrown around a lot. You know, just won the World Series with the Braves. He's available. And I mean, I kind of like it, but I don't. Can you picture Freddie Freeman as anything other than a Brave? Because I really can't. I mean, I know how baseball works and some guys do decide to leave teams and stuff, but I feel like he's one of those guys who just, he's going to stay with the same team all the time.
He's going to end up right back in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I don't see. Sure, I get it. I understand the allure that at this point in his career, he's somebody who knows how to win, and he could bring a lot to a team like the Yankees. Kind of struggled to get over that hump in the last few years. But at the same time, I think Atlanta's going to – Atlanta's going to get some short-term deal with him, or maybe some major long-term deal done where he is able to retire as a Brave. It just doesn't seem like he's going to end up anywhere else. I don't know that he wants to end up anywhere else. It's funny. He went to rival high schools with my cousin, and my cousin has been, like, one of Freddie's best friends was known for, like, throwing parties, and my cousin would go to these parties all the time. So I was asking my cousin over Christmas, I was like, when you go visit your parents, can you also just, like, drive by the Freeman house and ask what he's thinking? Like, she thought that, like, was really weird. Thought that was really weird. I don't blame her. I just think that Freddie Freeman's going to end up retiring a Brave. It seems like that's what he wants to do. And if something doesn't work out with Atlanta, he's going to have a chip on her. He's going to be pretty hurt that this organization that he's been with for so long and won a World Series with didn't want him back, or maybe not didn't want him back, but wasn't willing to do what it took to get him back. So if Atlanta can't work something out with him, yeah, you go grab a hungry Freddie Freeman. You go grab a Freddie Freeman that is intent to show that the organization that he just won a World Series with was wrong about him.
Right.
But I don't necessarily see that happening.
Yeah, I don't either. They're attaching so many people. We were talking about Matt Chapman yesterday. Freeman is 32. Not that that's bad. You know, it's still relatively young, but in baseball, it's...
I mean, he's a year removed from an MVP season.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. Yeah. He's a 5-time All-Star, 2-time Silver Slugger. He won the Gold Glove in 2018. And as we said, he helped the Braves capture their first World Series title in 26 years last season because they didn't play the Yankees. I always love that. My Braves friends always get mad at me when I mention that. I'm like, yeah, it's because they didn't play the Yankees in the World Series because...
Well, Freeman's also a really good clubhouse guy to have around. And when I talked about Carlos Correa and leadership, there were some people on Twitter who were like, this is the Yankees. You don't need leadership like that because everybody in the clubhouse has the same mentality. No, you need leadership in every clubhouse. I don't care what the dress code is. I don't care what the culture of the organization is. You still need leadership in every clubhouse. You cannot win without good leadership in the clubhouse.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I felt like... It's funny you say that. I feel like the Yankees have kind of missed a little bit of that leadership, especially since CeCe retired, because I feel like he was really like
a very vocal leader in that clubhouse. He was somebody that they really respected. And it's not that these guys really respect Brett Gardner, but he's different. He's more of like just sort of he'll talk when he needs to,
right?
But he's a little more stoic, I guess. Maybe that's not the right word, but in my mind, I see Brett Gardner's just very, like, he's very even keel, which is very good because other guys aren't going to get too high or too low either. But sometimes when you have that real vocal, fiery leader, it does inspire guys. And you also need guys to, you need a leader to sort of like organize the clubhouse, if that makes sense. You know,
sure.
You can't have, look, I hate to keep bringing this up as an excuse, but like the Mets didn't have any leadership in their clubhouse last year. And they had a lot of guys that the clubhouse chemistry, they thought they had great clubhouse chemistry. And it turns out it was just factions in the clubhouse that didn't necessarily get along with each other, or they weren't necessarily like close with each other. Not that you have to be best friends with everybody in the clubhouse, but there's got to be a hierarchy and there's got to be a respect level. If you don't have that, it's going to show on the field. You know, somebody botches a defensive play, and instead of, you know, just shaking it off as one bad play, it leads to like bad blood and resentment for a couple days. That's something that can happen if you don't have good leadership. Every clubhouse needs strong leadership. I don't care whether you are the Yankees or, you know, the Showtime Lakers, you have to have good clubhouse leadership. And it's going to, if you have factions in the clubhouse that are not getting along, it's going to bleed out into play, and it's not a good thing. So, yeah, I think maybe Freddie Freeman, I don't know that he's going to come into the expectation of somebody to come into a new team and lead, that's inaccurate and that's unfair. But right. I think he's a good clubhouse guy to have around, and he'd make a positive impact. Not that he would be a leader, but he would make a positive impact.
Yeah. I mean, I'm of the feeling or the wanting of a left-handed first baseman again.
Yeah. But you know, there are other ones available. Like,
right.
Re-sign Rizzo. You know, he showed an ability to play in a big market.
And he seems to want to stay. He seems to like it here. So you know, I don't know why they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could go after it. Yankees could go after Greg Bird or Mike Ford again. I'm joking. For those of you that can't see me laughing on the podcast.
She's laughing, I swear.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor Greg Bird. Just, my goodness. Talking about injuries and just constant. You know, he had some really good moments. That home run off Andrew Miller in 2017 is still one of the best. I mean, it is one of the best Yankee moments of the last 10 years. And it's just a shame that he couldn't stay healthy, because he would have been I think he could have been one of those guys. And it just didn't happen. And that kind of sucks. Actually, where is he now? Do we even know? He was with Texas, right? Was that who he was with?
He was with Colorado this last season.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. For the part of the season. Did he get traded this season, or am I thinking of somebody else?
I don't know.
Sometimes all the transactions blur together in my mind.
Yeah. It's like, wait.
Sometimes I can remember super specific ones, and sometimes they all blur together. It just depends. Yeah. Maybe I haven't had enough coffee this morning. Do I ever have enough coffee?
I actually had too much coffee. I'll admit that. I had two big, I have a big Winnie the Pooh mug that I had two things. And then when my brother called and said that he had to come back from work because school was canceled, he's like, I'm going to Dunkin'. You want something? I was like, yes, I want a large peppermint mocha. Thank you. And then I drank a large peppermint mocha on top of the giant coffees that I already had. So I'm kind of like, ooh. So yeah.
What you guys didn't see was right before we started recording, I spilled all of this all over myself and the kitchen. I don't have enough for today because I spilled most of it. Something that happens to me often.
Now, before we get to segment 3, which was the predictions for 2022, and as I said in the open, they're funny predictions. They're not real predictions, but kind of, because some of the predictions that Pete Caldera made for 2021 actually happened. So before we get into that, Bet Online has you covered this holiday season, because we are technically still in the holiday season. Epiphany hasn't happened yet. With more props, odds, and lines than ever before, as football continues its march through the College Bowl season, right? Because there's still more College Bowl games left. The championship hasn't happened. And the pro football playoffs. Not that you guys in New York have anything to worry about with NFL playoffs. But online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, so don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the game starts. Man, it's awful being a New York football fan. I'm a Giants fan. And I can't even make fun of my Jet fan friends, because the Giants have been atrocious, basically, since they won the Super Bowl in 2012. It's been 10 years of atrociousness. So I can't even make fun of my Jet fan friends as much as I'd love to, because, I find the Jet fans and Met fans, they're usually,
Jets, Mets, Islanders. Yeah.
Yeah. And they have the same hopeful enthusiasm when the season starts. And then within like a game, everything's like, again,
Yeah, the Jets and the Mets are the two teams also that like ownership really runs the show, and ownership shouldn't always run the show.
Yeah.
Islanders, I can't say the same, but I don't know. I don't have a soul. I'm not a fan of any team except the Long Beach State Dirtbags, you know? Like, I've been working in this industry for so long that, like, I don't know how to cheer. If the Sacramento Kings ever got good again, then I would probably, like, maybe find that piece of me that used to know how to be a fan. But, like, man, Alvin Gentry is, like, throwing fits on the sidelines because the Kings are so bad. Like, my friends were sending me videos of Alvin Gentry last night being like, wow, this is your team. I'm like, I haven't paid attention to them in years. I mean, the last game that I watched was Luke Walton's last game before they fired him, and a fan threw up all over like the court side, or he threw up all over the sidelines on the side of the court, and they had to escort him out. That will forever be known as the Puke Walton game. And as long as there is still dysfunction and chaos in Sacramento, that's the only team that, like, I really kept as being a fan of. And I'm just going to do my job and watch sports for, you know, work and not to get emotionally invested or involved, because it's heartbreaking.
It is. It's exhausting. I can't take it. I try to not get so, you know, I said this on a previous show. It used to take me days to recover from the Yankees losing the playoffs. Now it's about 5 minutes because I'm like, all right, whatever, it's done. No big deal. But in my 20s, forget it. It was crazy. So, okay. The predictions that Pete Caldera made, three predictions that they made for 2021 that he got right. The Yankees would beat the Rays on the season's last day to clinch the AL wildcard spot, or NAL wildcard spot, one of them. Gerrit Cole would finish second in Cy Young voting, and Aaron Boone would sign a 3-year extension. So he got those right out of 21 predictions for 2021. Now, number one right off the bat, the lockout ends March 7th.
Yeah.
They aren't even talking. There's nothing happening. I don't see that happening. March 7th is way too early.
Yeah. I mean, we have a couple months. I know that they're not talking right now, and they are at a standstill, but the sense of urgency will start to heighten as we get deeper into this offseason and approaching what would have, like, originally been a starting spring training date. You do start to see talks pick back up quickly and maybe concessions being made. I mean, maybe not, because look at what a debacle the 2020 season ended up being, and they started much later than players wanted to. And March seems like an accurate target date to me, or an accurate date to me, because at some point they're going to want to get a deal done before it interrupts the regular season, because that just damages the brand. Everybody loses money. Everybody loses a lot more morale than we've already lost, and a lot more sanity than we've already lost. So March 7th is, I could see that. Pete probably,
I would like that, but Pete
probably threw a dart and it landed on March 7th, and that's probably, you know, give or take a few days. And I'd say that's accurate. Yeah.
He thinks the Yankees will get Matt Olson. He thinks they'll sign Carlos Rodon to a 2-year deal. He thinks that Anthony Rizzo will sign with the Yankees. Like we said in the previous segment, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
After the Los Angeles Dodgers signed Freddie Freeman, the Yankees ship Luke Voit to the Braves for that's some interesting domino patterning
well,
there.
Look at number 7, the next one. On the last day of spring training, free agent Brett Gardner rejects the Yankees' coaching/executive offer and signs a 1-year deal with the Mets.
Oh, that would be so fantastic. And really, that's such a Mets thing to do. To, like, go grab somebody like that from across town and be like, oh, he still wants to play, but you don't want to, we'll take him over here. Yeah. No, come on. You won't even have to, like, move apartments. You can, it's fine. We'll take you. Like, the Mets are, like, they always take on the reclamation projects for one, but, like, this is just, like, twisting the knife a little bit. I could see, and can you imagine the Steve Cohen tweets about this?
Oh, yeah, I could. Now, speaking of that, number nine, because we're not going to go through all 22. It's too much. Number nine, Yankees lose their home opener to the Red Sox, falling to 1-7 to start the season. Currently trending on Twitter, fire Cashman, fire Boone, sell the Yanks. Which I could see that happening. I always think back to 1998 when they started 1-4. And I think back to, or I wonder what it would have been like if Twitter was in existence in 1998. Because I remember people being like, what the hell? You know, and then we all know what happened in 1998.
Pete should have put number 10 as the next one should have been, some Twitter sleuth will find out that Steve Cohen liked one of the Fire Cashman tweets. or the Sell the Team tweets.
Yeah. That's funny. Let's see. Oh, all right. In a mirror of 2021, an unproductive Yankees lineup is the root cause of their mediocre record at the halfway mark, tied for fourth place at 42-39. I could see that happening. And then, trending on Twitter in mid-July, trade Joey Gallo, trade Gary Sanchez, trade Aroldis Chapman, Jordan Montgomery for mayor. So hopefully my prediction of Jordan Montgomery doing okay in 2022 actually happens.
I think the Yankees are going to try and trade Sanchez as soon as the And I have no, like, look, this is not inside information. This is, like, my totally unfounded theory. I just think maybe they're going to, like, as soon as the transaction freeze is lifted and we can, and there's action again, I think maybe the Yankees are going to trade Gary Sanchez. But, I mean, the catching market's not really great right now, so maybe not. But I just think maybe, they held on to him to try and see if they could get assets.
Mm-hmm. Now, 16. Brett Gardner scores the winning run on a passed ball, completing the first place Mets late July 2-game Subway Series sweep at Citi Field. Now, that's funny. At the trade deadline, the Yankees stand pat. Oh, Yankee fans will not accept that, no matter what's happening with them. But Nestor Cortez acquires a talking parrot named Babe to replace last year's mascot, Bronxy the Turtle. Now, people think Bronxy is dead, which I hope that's not the case. But a lot of people think that that poor
Where
turtle.
Where did that rumor come? Come on, guys.
I know.
He probably
just
like gave it to a clubhouse guy to take care of for the, or maybe he took it home. I don't know.
Yeah. Number 20, another quiet regular season, Gleyber Torres wins September's AL Player of the Month award, boosting the Yanks to a wild card bid in MLB's new 14-team playoff format. Choosing their opponent under MLB's new postseason system, the AL West champion Houston Astros pick the Yankees and win a best-of-three wild card series at Minute Maid Park. And then the 22nd prediction. A business consortium led by Twitter and Alex Rodriguez attempts to buy the Yankees.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Pete Caldera is one of my favorite writers in the market. And also, like, shout out to Pete. You guys should do his Sinatra.
Yeah.
Go sing Sinatra songs in the Stan Rubin Orchestra. My dad, who's a big Rat Pack fan, was supposed to come this fall and we were going to go see Pete sing, but family plans changed and he's going to try and come in the spring now. But my dad is very excited about watching Pete sing his Sinatra. He like transforms himself too. Like I've seen videos, Brian Hoke showed me a couple of videos and like the video that I saw Pete like turned around. It was like a great production too. Like he's like facing the orchestra and then he turns around to the crowd and like all of a sudden he is Frank Sinatra.
Yeah,
it's really cool. He's also like a really, really nice guy and like a very well-respected reporter. Part of what I was saying yesterday, like you treat everybody with respect, the same respect that you just don't treat anybody differently. You treat the reporters and the GMs and the clubhouse people with the same, all with the same level of respect. And Pete is one of those people who does that.
Yeah. He's cool. And yes, definitely follow him on Twitter. And if you get a chance to see him sing, I haven't seen it in person. I've seen video and I know people who have gone to see him. And
yeah.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, my mom loved Sinatra. Maybe I should do that for her. That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
She would love that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's it for today because, you know,
what's going on?
Yeah, there really isn't anything going on. The rest of the week, we have one more show because we're down to three a week now until spring training starts, whatever the hell that is. And, you know, programming note, we're going to try and do it the middle of the week, if we can, depending on the schedule, so you guys have an idea of when we're doing things. And if things change, I'll put stuff out on Twitter and let everyone know if, you know, something comes up and we can't record, because, you know, life happens. And yeah, but for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Abby and I would like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Now make your second listen of the day Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. So enjoy your Wednesday, and we will talk to you tomorrow.